Well, this week is Drug Awareness Week. During this week, in the month of June, experts are putting the focus on drug overuse, misuse and abuse. The scourge of alcohol, drug and substance abuse knows no bounds and cuts across race, class and social barriers. I mean, long are the days wherein the assumption would be that you have to be of a certain social strata in order to indulge in alcohol, drugs and misuse any of these, substances. Substance abuses or substances for that matter. There are unfortunately all types of available substances that are across economic barriers, across social strata and across social bounds that the unfortunate irony is that kids as young as 8 and 9 could get involved in. Now, substance abuse destroys the fabric of our society and contributes significantly to a range of health-related conditions such as HIV, TB, as well as chronic diseases, cardiovascular diseases, cancers, and mental disorders. Now, we discuss with the Independent Community Pharmacy Association of South Africa, Jackie Maiman, with regards to the Drug Awareness Week, which is, of course, this week here. Good evening to you, Jackie.
Good evening, Junaid, and thank you very much for having me on to speak about this important topic.
Jackie, thank you for joining us. You know, a difficult topic to discuss, no doubt, and one which has got many, many sad tales and stories attached to it. But Jackie, if wanted to look at the percentage of South Africans who are using mind-altering substances, whether it is cheap, round-the-corner drugs, high-end drugs, alcohol, or whatever abuse, even off the shelf, off-the-counter type of substances, what would those percentages be, Jackie, according to your understanding?
So the latest research shows that almost 20% of South Africans, 20%, that is one out of every five adults, is abusing or misusing mind-altering substances. It's quite frightening.
You know, the type of drugs that are favored by drug users or abusers, and, you know, previously, of course, we know traditionally it's been alcohol, various forms of plant-based substances that have been used. But these days, what are the favored usage of mind-altering substances that we can find in the country?
So, as you already mentioned, alcohol, painkillers, so prescription medicines, and dacha are the main offenders. These are readily available and are actually socially more acceptable than hard drugs. When we look at the illicit drug market, there are three different categories. So there's the uppers, which is our cocaine, ecstasy, speed, crack cocaine, and tic. The downers, heroin and mandrax. And, of course, the hallucinogens, LSD and mescaline, or shrooms, as they call them.
Jackie, the fight against drugs, no doubt, is in its second or third generation already. And initially, as the substances that we had mentioned, alcohol, abuse, dacha, which were the more common drugs in the 70s and 80s. But we live in a generation where you've got a plethora of substances that one could indulge in. And some of them, its origination or its ingredients could be acquired in a legal way and then processed into an illegal substance. The country and the world has got its hands full fighting substance abuse. How is South Africa doing, not just in the law enforcement management, but also in managing the social aspect of weaning people off drugs and keeping people safe in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. And what you've said is so true. I mean, even things like glue and Tippex spinners can be abused. So reports indicate that drug use, particularly amongst our youth, is definitely on the rise in South Africa. And along with it, drug-related crimes, including trafficking, possession, gang-related violence, those are also on the increase. For instance, here, where I'm in Cape Town, cities like Cape Town have seen high levels of violence linked to drug trade and gang activity. I think the high rates of unemployment, poverty and subsequent mental health issues such as depression fuel this market. And, you know, you've either got people trying to make money selling drugs or trying to escape the sad reality of where they find themselves by taking drugs. And, you know, there was a survey done of persons aged 14 to 22. 60% of them were using some form of drug other than its intended purpose. And the youngest heroin addict was only 8 years old. So unless we as South Africa take on a really multifaceted approach to these socioeconomic challenges, drug use will continue. So in short, in my opinion, we're not really winning the battle at the moment. We need to try something different.
Jackie, there's a genre of substance abuse, and that is, you know, prescription medications. Now, how concerning is the misuse and abuse of medications? I mean, you go to a pharmacy, you fill up your prescription medication, or you even buy drugs and medication off the counter. There is these type of checks and balances these days that they want to know your address. They want to know, you know, how much of that particular substance that you have bought, even if it's an over-the-counter type of a medication. But there is a group of South Africans, or should I say substance abusers, that see nothing wrong in abusing prescription drugs. They may not even believe that they are, in the traditional sense, drug abusers. How are we dealing with this particular segment of society that may very well be, you know, upper middle class, that may even have these prescriptions filled out through legal means for that matter, but yet they are drug abusers?
Yeah, unfortunately, and as I mentioned earlier, it is far more socially acceptable to use prescription medicines. And many people don't even realize that they've got a dependence or an addiction until it seriously gets out of control. And many justify the use. You know, they say, oh, I've got lots of pain, I need these painkillers. Or I don't feel well unless I take this. Or I've got a really bad cough and this is the only thing that helps. So they do not believe that they are drug addicts. And actually, we don't like to call them that either. They have what we call a substance use disorder. And the first step is for them to recognize that they need help. And then the next step, to actually ask for help. And I think that is the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, are the success stories where we've got people who've recovered. And I think, you know, the focus needs to be more on that. But yes, we're very concerned about it. Pharmacy hopping, drug hopping, fraudulent prescriptions, sleeping tablets, painkillers, cough syrups, you name it. We've even got people using some of the old Dutch remedies and injecting. It's a problem. And as I say, more socially acceptable and readily available.
The focus on codeine. Now, I remember doing back in about a year or so an entire program on codeine and the addiction related to codeine, simply because it's a readily available type of a substance. Now, no doubt South Africa has got laws regarding codeine, but noting the fact that it's not consistently applied globally, it could be brought in different ways, even in soft drinks for that matter, that are labeled as soft drinks, but it is a readily available product, quite often featuring school parties, year-end parties, and it has seen its rise in misuse. How is codeine being managed in the country legally as well as in the lives of patients or substance abusers?
Yes, so you're quite right. Codeine is an opioid, and as with all opioids, it can be misused. It is less dependence-producing than the likes of morphine, but in Africa, we have a genetic group of people called ultra-rapid metabolizers, and they actually very rapidly metabolize codeine into morphine. And, of course, morphine is a Schedule 6 prescription. It's tightly controlled and highly addictive. So this is the problem, that for the average person, there is not that much of a risk with codeine. But for others, within 2 weeks, you can be dependent on it. And this is where we need to be more careful. And we need to bring in some sort of control measure to pick up when people are taking codeine from multiple pharmacies or in multiple medicines. An example is you might have a headache. So you take a painkiller with paracetamol and codeine. At the same time, you've got a little bit of a tickle of a cough, so maybe you've got a cold coming on, and you take a cough syrup that contains codeine. Then your nose is running, you take a cold and flu remedy, and guess what? It's got codeine in it. And before you know it, you're taking the larger quantities, and you only feel better when you're taking them. And 2 weeks later, there's the dependence and the problem.
You know, the role of pharmacies and your average local round-the-corner pharmacist, whether they're operating out of a supermarket store, whether they, you know, they've got their own, you know, kiosk somewhere and now prescribing medication. The role of the pharmacy and a pharmacist is absolutely vital in managing these type of products and where you have a substance abuser. Granted, a pharmacist may not help all that much with you know, gang-related drugs and those that are peddled on the streets itself. But where you have people that are slipping into some form of a substance abuse, and the first detector of the problem and the first indicator that you might have a substance abuse problem will probably fall on your local pharmacy. The role of pharmacists, your comments on that, Jackie?
Absolutely. So, you know, the pharmacist, firstly, we do need better control measures to prevent this overuse. Then we need more education and awareness of the dangers of dependence. And we need to be able to say to people, you can come to your pharmacy if you find yourself in trouble. On top of that, if you've got a loved one and you notice that there's something not quite right and you can pick up the signs, often there's mood changes, they become quiet, withdrawn, secretive. If there are any concerns, go chat to your pharmacist and see if they can help. There are actually over-the-counter drug tests. If you really want to go that route, you can very quickly pick up opiates. And there is help there. In a stigma-free, non-judgmental way, a pharmacist is there to help you, put you in contact with the right people that can help you with that. Nobody wants to be dependent on a medicine. There are better ways of dealing with life's problems. So I think the pharmacist is a critical role player, and we can certainly point anyone who has any challenges in the right direction.
Finally, Jackie, the focus of Drug Awareness Week this year, 2024. What's the theme? What's the focus this year by way of a concentrated effort and an educational campaign?
Yes, no, absolutely. You know, I think this whole week, and of course, tomorrow, the 26th, is really focusing. It's an international drug trafficking and illicit drug day. But I think this week is really an opportunity for us to look at the past, examine the present, and look to the future in terms of how to effectively address and reduce the impact of substance use disorders. You said it earlier, and it's so true. It destroys the fabric of our society. It increases crime. It really is a scourge. But there is hope. And there are some wonderful stories of recovery. And those that have recovered can help others recover. And I think that is what this week is about. It's about this awareness. It's about to say we're not going to judge anybody. It is an illness. It is a substance use disorder. And there are people out there that are really ready and willing to help you if you think you do have a problem.
Jackie Maimon, thank you for joining us on Radio Islam International with this important discussion regarding Drug Awareness Week and the interventions that are so necessary. Thank you for your time, Jackie, and looking forward to talking to you sometime in the future.
Thank you very much, and good night. Look after yourself.